supply my every need.
I lean on you.
I've been on the mountain when the sun was shining bright. I've been in the valley when the clouds were black as night.
I've been betrayed like Jesus by a friend who wasn't true. But in the good times or the bad times, Lord, I've learned to lean on you.
I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you, Lord. For the thing that I need, I lean on you.
When I don't know just what to do, I've got faith you're gonna see me through.
To supply my every need. I've heard the battle raging, then I prayed till victory came. There have been times I really thought, Lord, you don't even know my name.
But I've been blessed, and I've been down to where I didn't know what to do. But in the times of joy and sorrow, Lord, I've learned to lean on you.
I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you, Lord. For the things that I need, I lean on you.
When I don't know just what to do, I got faith you're gonna see me through.
To supply my every need, I lean on you. To supply my every need, I lean on you.
Are you leaning on the Lord this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anything else we lean on is just like sinking sand. I think about a bicycle, how it has a kickstand, and all that weight is leaning upon the kickstand. And the Lord is definitely more than a kickstand, but we can lean on Him like He's a kickstand this morning. I praise the Lord this morning for who He is, for what He does, and I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church right here in good old Powder Springs. Good to see each and every one of you. Hope you've had a good week this week. And I trust you've come today to worship the Lord, to get connected to Him. We've also come to, second to that, to get connected to one another. We are here to share our burdens, to share blessings, and to just get really, really connected today, get plugged in this morning so that we can go back out there in that world and do the will of God. Amen? All right. Well, I want to mention a few things this morning before I toss things back to Brother Allen. I've mentioned this a few times already, but I do want to mention it again. We had our first chapel service at Grace on Wednesday morning and had two teenagers get saved. And so we're excited about that. I'm talking about real Holy Ghost conviction. I'm talking about teenagers coming down with tears and crying in front of their classmates. High schoolers, okay? The power of God unto salvation is what it is. And I pray for the same thing for here this morning, for us here at Calvary. If someone's not saved, that they would listen to the Lord, lean on Him for salvation. But if you are saved and you need encouragement, my prayer is you would lean on Him for that as well. And so what a blessing that was this week. And I do ask that you would remember my grandfather in prayer. He's at the hospital. He's not doing too good. He's got, from what my grandmother says, multiple heart problems right now and kidney problems. I don't want to say his kidneys are shutting down, but I think after his foot surgery he had and being a diabetic and all of that, it's just really taking a toll on them. He and she wants to be here. She called me last night and told me that she's not going to be at church this morning because my grandfather's in the hospital, but also because her brother Ronnie died yesterday. They were transporting him to a nursing home, and he died during transport. So, but just remember my family, if you would, my grandparents, if you would, they want to be here so bad. They love Calvary, and they love you. I did give their information to Miss Claudia. Miss Claudia had reached out to me and wanted to do some updates on the Helping Hands, which Miss Vicky is helping out with, the Helping Hands. So thank you. But Miss Claudia has my grandparents' address, phone number, if you wish to help out with that. Maybe just a call or a card would be good. And so whatever you feel led to do, thank you for that. Also, Miss Dolores and her heart condition. She is going for some more tests a little bit later, but it's not pumping like it should. That's why she passed out in the camper a while back. It's because of her heart not pumping like it should. And then Brother Leonard, of course, he went and had his permanent port put in for his lifelong immune therapy. Every Monday for life is what they're saying. And so he's had some ups and downs, as you can imagine. Just trying to get stable with all of these things going on in his life and her life and all these medications. Miss Connie Norton, as we said, is home. How's she doing? Better? Amen. All right. So, but we'll continue to pray for Miss Connie. Also, remember, again, and you're always so good about this church. You're always so good about this. Cards and calls, you know, for the Palmers, Miss Connie, and everybody. Thank you. I just want to say, for being so good about that. It really means a lot to a person who's down and out. Miss Diane Ely, I talked to Randy Ely, and she's continuing back treatments and future surgery, probably looking at October. And so just remember that. Remember everybody else on the prayer list. Our children's home is on the road today. They should be here tonight, and the service is downstairs. Remember that for tonight. Remember homecoming. That is right around the corner. It is on the 15th of next month, 10:30 a.m., no Sunday school. Brother Snyder will be preaching for us, and Calvary's choir, and Brother Dakota Lee from Grace will be with us. And so it's going to be a great service, so just remember that. We will be taking up a love offering, so if you would, be mindful of that for Brother Dakota. He's young in the ministry. He's you know, trying to do the Lord's work, and so if you would just remember that, bless him real good on homecoming Sunday morning. That would be great. Outreach on Saturday the 31st. That's the last Saturday of this month. Normally we're on the second Saturday. I want to go ahead and do that. I know people have plans. I know there's a lot going on, but if you can join me on that day, I'm going to be going to the soccer field on East West Connector, handing out hats. Where's Brother? There he is. Handing out hats from the Hat Ministry, and soccer wristbands and headbands, and inviting people to church. And all the kids are there at the soccer park. So you can join me on that day. Of course, we'll meet here at 10 for prayer in that morning. CGT, Calvary's Got Talent. Are you getting ready? You seem so enthused this morning, I must tell you. Remember that. Calvary's Got Talent, the last Sunday of this month. And we have a goal of raising $3,000. To continue the upgrades here at the church. And I just want to say thank you to all those who have given so far. We still have a good bit left over from previous fundraisers, and that's going towards the sanctuary. But thank you. That God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, I had a thought in Panama City the other week, and this was my thought. If everybody gave, there would be no wants. If everybody, and apply that however you want to. If everybody gave in life, in this world, there would be no wants. Nobody will be in need. And in the church, if everybody would tithe and everybody would give, there will be no lack. God wants to use us to do a great work here at Calvary. And I know you're excited about it. I can see it on your face this morning. we're excited about it. So just remember that if everybody gives, there'll be no lack. So remember that. All right. Well, again, it's good to be here this morning. We're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Then we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dear Lord, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Be with our children's home as they're on the road, Brother Brian, all of them, whatever they're doing. Give them safety, Lord. Just help them have a great day, and looking forward to having them back tonight. Lord, I pray for all of these requests. You'd be with each and every life, every person, every situation. Be with us that are here this morning, God. We have 1 hour together, and we're watching and we're praying. We are sober-minded. We are vigilant. We have not gathered together in vain. We got up. We got dressed. We fought the devil every step of the way. And we're here. There is something that's going to be said today from you. I just know. And so bless this service. Save the lost and bless the saved. And Father, we love you and we thank you for the things that you have done, the things you're doing now that we may not even be aware of, in the things that you desire to do in the future at Calvary, at our homes, and abroad in this world. We love you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen.
Amen, church. Good to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. Take a hymnal. Turn over to 133. Church stand, choir stand, join me as we sing, "I Feel Like Traveling On." Alright, everyone sing now. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel. Some of y'all look like you've been run over by a train. Thank you. Appreciate that. We need to put a smile on our face. Does anybody in the house this morning feel like traveling on?
Yes.
I'm not talking about traveling on down here. I'm talking about traveling on up there. Amen. Let's sing the last verse together. Smile on your face and give the Lord some worship this morning. He's worthy. Here we go now.
The Lord has been so good to me, I feel like traveling on until that blessed home I see. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My
good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm thankful to be here, and I hope you are as well. We take that way too many times for granted. There's a lot of folks that are at home sick, a lot of folks that have gone through some situations that would not allow them to be here today. So we should be thankful. Amen?
Amen.
Let me just say, if you can turn your neck around, look at the very back wall back there, and we praise the Lord for what has been done this week. And if you'll notice, amen, I'm looking forward to what we might be able to use that screen for. If you'll notice the top words back there, it says, "He has." That's a hint for you. The choir's working on a brand new song entitled, "He Has."
You just wait till you hear it. I don't know about you, but I've noticed some things that God's done. Amen? He has been good.
Amen.
He has been faithful.
Yes.
And he has brought me through some hard times thus far. Amen? So you pray for the choir as we learn a brand new song. It says, He has. I don't know whose idea it was to put that up there, but I'm thankful for it this morning. And we're thankful for the work that went into having the screen on the back wall. That'll be a great advantage, and we are so thankful for that this morning. But let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to be here with us today. Again, it's good to see your smiling faces out there. Hey, I take it as a mirror. Either the choir's not smiling at y'all or one or the other. I don't know. But if we'll smile at one another, I believe it'll make us feel a little better this morning. But let's ask the Lord to be with us in a powerful way today. Brother Larry, would you take us a Lord in a word of prayer today?
Did I mention again? I know some of you may be sitting out thinking right there on your pew, oh, great, here we go again. Did I mention? And you know, so many times we've heard this song, and I just want to say once again to the Lord publicly, I just thank Him for His faithfulness to me. I know there are other people in this choir that you could come up and tell me afterwards that could do this song much, much better than I ever could, but I just want to ask the Lord to use me in a mighty way to help me get across what's been asked of me this morning. And I want to say again, I'm just so thankful for His faithfulness and His goodness to me.
Praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said He is precious by leaning on His bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify.
Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him when I can see no way?
He makes a faithful. That's all I want to say. How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? Well, there are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done.
That he's been faithful. There's been so many things that God has provided for us and brought us through, and I'm so thankful for that. We're going to sing a song about what our King is known by. He is known by his faithfulness. He's known by his mercy and his grace and the power that saves us, and I'm so thankful for a King of mercy and grace. And most importantly, I'm thankful for the power of salvation that he saved me as a 16-year-old girl. And I'm so thankful that when the blood was applied to my life, everything that I have done to disappoint him and all my sins are so deep into the sea and forgotten. And I'm just so thankful for his mercy and his grace.
Can see in royal robes they rule from thrones, waging wars they overthrow the weak and call it victory. My King is known by mercy. My King is known by grace, for the hope in his His name and the power that saves. My King is known by the cross. My King is known by an empty grave and all that He does. My King is known by. Can almost see Him even now, rejected with thorns upon His brow. What kind of King would leave His throne and make my sin and shame His own? Yet He gave His life for me. He gave His life for me. My King is known. My King is known by grace, for the hope in His name and the power that saves. My King is known by the cross. My King is known by an empty grave and all that He does. My King is known. That welcomes everyone as His daughters and His sons, and no one is ever turned away. My King is known by mercy. My King is known by grace, for the hope in His name and the power that saves. My King is known by the cross. My King is known by an empty grave and all that He does. My King is known by love. He's known by His
Thank you. The Martin Gospel Group. Our little drummer was here. Our growing drummer. He is growing up. So proud of the Martin kids. Love them. Love the Martins. Appreciate them. And our King is known by love. He's known by grace. He's known by mercy. I want to say that He has walked on water. We haven't walked on water, but He has. And because He has, we can. We can. What a blessing. What a joy. What an honor to be here. Appreciate each and every one of you. 2 Chronicles chapter number 2, verse number 1. 2 Chronicles chapter number 2, in verse number 1, in just a moment. And I want to give a church challenge this morning. A church challenge. Now, the Holy Spirit will use this message however He seemed fit. I've learned in recent days that God can take a message that I intend for one way and he can use it for another way. And for an example, Wednesday morning at chapel, that was not a salvation message, Brother Ceylon. It was a back-to-school message about staying in your lane. But the Lord is the one who takes his word and uses it. So don't be discouraged when I say a church challenge this morning, because there may be someone here in a storm or going on challenged up against something in their personal life, your personal life. God is able to speak to you through any kind of message, even a church challenge message. So 2 Chronicles this morning. I want to say that this book, 2 Chronicles as 1 Chronicles, is a combo book. It's a combo book because it basically contains 1 and 2 Kings. But 1 and 2 Chronicles is more in detail that took place in 1 and 2 Kings. And so it's a combo book going in great detail during the years of the kings. So this morning I want to look into 2 Chronicles chapter number 2 at one verse. That is verse number 1. And this morning we're going to try to start this message. We may finish it. If we do, then we got a part 2 tonight downstairs we want to share. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read verse number 1. Father, we love you. We thank you for being who you are. We've had parents on this earth who has guided us and protected us. And if we've had earthly parents to do so, we know we have a heavenly parent that does so and much more. Thank you for that. Pray for the next few moments that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart. Give me a right spirit. Oh Lord, this is a challenge for all of us, starting with me. And I pray that you'll get glory from it. We thank you for what you have done in our lives, what you're doing now that we may not even be aware of, and what you're going to do in the future. For us, in Jesus' name, we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. 2 Chronicles chapter number 2, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Solomon determined." Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Lord and an house for his kingdom. I want to call your attention to the first half of this verse. "And Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Lord." I want to preach this morning for a few moments on this subject with the help of the Lord, and that is building a house for God. Building a house for God. God promised to use Solomon in a very extraordinary way. He was going to have him build him a permanent house. The Ark of the Covenant had been moved around for a number of years by Solomon's father David and was placed in the tabernacle. And because of the wilderness experience of the children of Israel, that tabernacle was taken up, that tabernacle was put down, it was moved and carried. David had it in his heart to build God a permanent house, but God said, "David, I'm not going to use you to do that. I'm going to use your son to do that." And so we know in chapter number 6, look with me if you would, in verse number 7, chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says, "Now it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel? But the Lord said to David my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son shall come forth out of thy loins. He shall build the house for my name. The Lord therefore had performed his word that he had spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And so that was God's promise to you, Solomon, to build a permanent temple. Notice in verse number 1 how this is worded. It's, and Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord first. Then he mentioned secondly, and an house for his kingdom. Solomon lays out his priority list. He says, God's house is first. My house is second. And it's in that order. And so now we have Solomon, and he is ruling and reigning. He is established on the throne, and he is ready and getting started on working on the house of God. Now I know the Lord's presence lives in us, in our hearts, those of us that are saved, that is. He lives in our earthly tabernacle. But the Lord also wants his presence to be abiding in his local temples as well. The same way the Lord, the Holy Spirit, listen to me, he can be grieved and quenched in our personal lives. He can be grieved and quenched in the local church as well. Hold that thought and turn, if you would, or follow along, Revelation chapter number 2. Hold your place in 2 Chronicles 2 and turn to Revelation 2. He can be grieved, he can be quenched in a local church as well. And so the Bible talks about in Revelation 2 in verse number 1, this church called Ephesus. Verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. All right, time out. This is the Lord speaking through John the Revelator to the churches of Asia Minor, Ephesus being one of them. And he says, these things saith he, God, that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Without getting bogged down in this, the seven stars are the seven angels of the churches, or the seven pastors. God says, I have the pastors in my hand. But then it says, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The candlesticks are the churches, because they give light in dark places. They give light. And so the writer opens up here, and he is talking to the church of Ephesus. He says, I'm holding the pastors. I am walking in the churches. They're giving light to the community. Verse number 2, he talks about, I know your labor, your patience, you can't bear the people that are evil, you're trying to do what's right. Verse number 3, you have borne with patience, or has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. So they were a working church, they were a patient church. But verse number 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Notice he says, left thy first love, not lost thy first love. Because once you have accepted Jesus, you cannot lose your salvation. You cannot lose your love. but you can't leave your love. And so we have this church talking about how it gives light to the community, and the Lord is talking about how it's effective in the community and effective in life. But verse number 5, there's a warning. He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works. Do the things that you joyed in when you first met Jesus, the things that made you excited, that brought you joy. Return to those first works, like when you met your spouse. How happy you were and excited you were. He says, return to that. And it'd be good preaching right here to say, not just return to the Lord, our first love, but return to our spouses and do the first works that we did when we first met them. Amen? As the years roll on in our marriages, we ought not to love them and be romantic and lovable and all those other things less and less, but we ought to do it more and more. Same way with our relationship with Jesus. The longer we serve Him, it ought to be the sweeter He gets. But we have a church here that was a working church. They had patience, all these things. But Jesus says, I want you to do your first works. Listen, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. And so the writer is saying that you are a candlestick giving light. You have influence in the community. But if we don't return and do our first works, if we don't have joy in service, if we don't trust the Lord with the ministry and all the rest of it, he says here that he will remove its candlestick from its place, except thou repent. So we have Jesus in the church, but at the same time, when you get to Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 20, he is outside the church knocking, saying, behold, if any man hear my voice and open unto me, I will come into him, and he to me, we will sup, and all the rest of it, have time of communion together. And so the presence of the Lord can leave a local church. That's what's taking place here. We are living during the church age. There are 7 churches mentioned, and they're here during this day of grace, the church age, because these are the things that are taking place. There are a lot of churches that have left their first love. I'm not talking about Calvary this morning. I'm talking about in the church world. They have got so just involved in other things that church has just become a religious part of their checklist of the week. I went to church Sunday morning, check. Went to church Sunday night, check. Went to church Wednesday night, check. And that's it. I mean, it's a shell. It's a form of godliness. It's going and coming and go, but there's no life. Many churches this morning are on life support. Life support. They are getting ready to die. Even in recent days, a pastor spoke to me and we spoke a little while, and he says, I can't get my people to do nothing. He says, I get up and I'm more of a lively preacher, he said, and I preach, and they just sit there like wooden Indians. He said, what am I supposed to do? And I said, well, to be quite honest with you, I don't have that problem here at Calvary. I said, but I've experienced it in the past. I have. That's the direction the church is going in. It's either, the Bible says, the Lord says, I would rather it be cold and hot, but it's lukewarm, the church of Laodicea. And because of that, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I don't want the Lord to spew Calvary out of his mouth, do you? I don't want to be rejected of the Lord in ministry, do you? I want His presence here at the church. And as Samuel had a desire to build God a permanent dwelling place, I believe we ought to have a desire to build God's church, to build a house for God. And so, there's some principles this morning. You can make your way back to 2 Chronicles 2. There's some principles that we can learn from Solomon's story of building God's house that if we apply, God will pour out His blessings on Calvary like He did during the dedication service of the temple. We won't get into that part this morning, but the dedication service of the temple, the glory of the Lord was so evident, and the cloud covered the glory because they couldn't stand it, but the cloud was so thick, the ministers could not minister. The priests could not minister. And so, there are some principles here. God will pour out His blessings on Calvary like He did on Solomon's temple, and I believe that we are beginning to see that here. Amen? We are beginning to... Look, I'm not saying that to spring hope in my heart. I'm saying that because I see it, and I hope you do too. I'm saying it because there is hope in my heart. I'm not saying God is blessing Calvary to put hope in my heart, but I'm saying it because there's hope already in my heart. Amen? And so, we see that God wants a place where He can manifest His presence, where He can save souls, where He can encourage the saints, where the Word of God is preached precept upon precept in context. And He wants songs and praises to be offered unto Him. He wants people to get saved, and He wants Christians to follow Him closely and all the rest of it. Ephesians chapter number 3. Don't turn there, I'll just give it to you. But Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, listen to this, according to the power that worketh in us. Stay with me this morning. This is just my introduction. God wants to do a humongous work at CBC, and He wants to work through you according to the power that worketh in us. And He wants to work through you to do that. Now unto Him that is able. Do you believe God is able this morning? Say amen. He is able to do what He has never done before in this church. Let me back up. He is able to do what He has done in this church before, but He is able to do exceeding abundantly above more than He has ever done in this church before. That's the kind of God that we serve this morning. According to the power that worketh in us, He wants to work through you to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Isn't that amazing? God wants to use us to do great things. Back to 2 Chronicles. And so we see God wants to do great things through you. God wants to do great things through me. And God is getting ready to do something great through Solomon. David was a war man. So God didn't use him to build His permanent dwelling place. He said He was going to use His son. And so this morning, I want to just tippy-toe through 3 points, if I could, to share some things about this subject. And again, I pray the Holy Spirit will apply it to everyone's heart that's here in His own tailor-made way, those watching on Facebook and listening online. Number one, building a house for God, there must be a determination from administration. There must be determination from here. Notice what the scripture says in verse number 1 of 2 Chronicles 2. And Solomon determined. And Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and then build a house for His kingdom. And so he had his priorities in place. He was a determined administrator. He was determined to do something for God. And so we have a determined Solomon, a determined leader who desired to build a house for the Lord. But notice this, chapter 2, verse 5. Not just any house for the Lord. Y'all ready for it? But a great house for the Lord. God's not just interested in building a house for His name. He wants to build a great house for His name. God wants to do great works at Calvary. God wants to touch Powder Springs in a great way. How do we get from just building a house and making the payments to having a great house and abounding forward? He says, and the house which I build is great. For great is our God above all gods. He says, I want to build a great house because I have a great God. What kind of God do you serve this morning? I serve Brother Allen a great God. He is great because of His salvation He imparts. He reached down November 19th, 2002, and it was the power unto God unto salvation for me. I was going my way apart from Him, drinking, drugging, clubbing, fighting, all of those things, had no hope of heaven. And then the Lord came by and saved my soul when I asked Him to come in, and He has changed directions in my life. Going on 22 years this November, I've been saved by the grace of God. And my life has been different. It's been going in a new direction. God wants to do something great in your life, in my life. And he has done that. When He saved me, He did something great. And because we serve a great God who gives a great salvation, He wants us to build Him something great. Some may say, who haven't been to Calvary in a while? Calvary was great. Careful, friend of mine. Careful. We got to be careful that we don't put our hope in man and not in God. Now, God used great men here at this church down through the years. Brother Ben, Brother Snyder. They were great men, used of God greatly because they knew they had a great God. Brother Berman was used greatly at Floyd Road for all those years. And he would say there's nothing great about him. He's in heaven. But God used him in a great way because He knew he had a great God. What kind of God do you have? Is He a great God to you this morning? If He is, let it show forth in the works of our hands. Again, thank you, church, for being on board and what you have done. But let us surpass what we've done and do more. Let us do more. And so, this morning, we see here that there was a determination from administration. And so we ought to want to build something great at Calvary. Why? Because our God is great. This process, listen to me, this process starts with leadership. Starts with leadership. But then it trickles down to membership. It's my job to plug into Jesus and bring it hot and heavy, and to be able to be here for you during the week and to lead and guide and follow the vision God has put in our heart. But it starts at leadership, but it trickles down to membership. We have a determination from administration. You'll find that It wasn't no time when Solomon gathered up. Verse number 2 says, "Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands of hundreds, to the judges and to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers." He had everybody on board. Thank you, Calvary, for being on board. Thank you, Calvary, for following the vision God has placed in our hearts. I believe God wants to do something great here like He's done in the past, but I will say, pre-adventure that, He wants to do something greater. He wants to do something greater. We've heard things rise and fall on leadership, and that's so very true. I'm not boasting or bragging when I say this. God knows my heart. I've been wrestling with Him since I've been the pastor here, trying to get a clear vision for this place. And now, when we've been here 6 years, going on 7, going on 8 as a member, and God, it seems like at year number 5, it seems like God at year number 5 gave me a clear vision. The years leading up to this was just preparation. And we're going to talk about that in Solomon's life. Oh, listen, we had vision when we first started here. We had vision for the 5 years, but my goodness, we were trying to take on a new face as Calvary. I came right behind Brother Snyder. Who is Justin? Nobody knows Justin. We know Snyder. And that's no pointing at anybody, getting mad at anybody. That was your pastor for all of these years. And even before that, Brother Ben. And then this guy, Justin, comes along. And so I believe that God takes some time to knit our hearts together. I mean, it was 5 years before the first paintbrush hit a wall in his place. I was so scared to change anything. I waited 5 years and I wrestled with God for 5 years. God, please give me a vision. I almost feel like a failure. And I wanted it so bad. God, in a very subtle way, began to give me a vision. Justin, this. And once you get through with this, I'll tell you what's next. This. This. I want it all laid out in front of me, but the Lord, He gives it to us in bits and pieces in some cases. So now, this is the vision that we have. We want to build something great for the Lord, and we have a determined Solomon here, and there's determination from administration. And again, I'm not boasting and I'm not bragging, but God did put in my heart to build Him a house. I'm thankful you've been helping me with that in our time together. I like to have a welcoming place here that encourages those from the community, because believe it or not, church, it's not about us and how we like this place. It's about presenting it to the Lord for the community, a light on a candlestick so they can walk in, and it's very welcoming and encouraging. There's a physical element, but the spiritual element. There needs to be fire from the pulpit, fire from the choir, fire from the Sunday school classes. There needs to be fire in this place. And if we want to build a house that's great for God, we have just got to get the vision, and we got to plug in. So, There's too many churches where the poor pastor has abandoned his vision because he had no helpers in his church. Again, thank God. Thank you for your help. We were part of two churches where it was me and my family against the world, doing everything. I remember when we started at Zion View, first church I ever pastored. I believe on our first Sunday we had 15 people there, AM service. And as we got settled in, I ended up teaching a Sunday school class, leading choir, preaching Sunday morning, preaching Sunday night, doing choir Sunday night. because it just seemed like everyone else lost the vision. One pastor comes, one pastor goes. I think the turnover rate for Zion View was about one new pastor every 2 years. Kind of like the Methodist church. They change out pastors every 2 years. And I got to thinking, well, that's probably why. They get burned out. And the Methodists want to have somebody fresh in there every 2 years. And so we experienced that. And then over next door here down the road at Pleasant Hill, we tried to be a help there. We need to pray for Pleasant Hill this morning. They're not doing too good over there. They don't have a pastor over there. And a lot of things have taken place over there. They're trying to create revenue over there to keep the ministry going over there. But I just wonder if they really want the Lord's will over there. I wonder if they really want the Lord's will at Zion View. I know there's one thing about Calvary, not saying anything great about me, but I want God's will here more than I ever have my whole life to do something great. My heart goes out to pastors who are quitting. I got a good friend who resigned his church probably, I don't know, a couple years ago. Just couldn't take it anymore. And if it had not been for you being on board with me, that might be me. That may have been me as well. But church, I want to tell you something. 6 years may not seem like a long time to you, but for me and my family, I knew in my heart, I cried over there when it was even brought up about potentially, after Brother Snyder left, being a run as a candidate. I cried over there, but I said, Lord, not again. I will not bring my family through this again unless you can guarantee success. And so the Lord spoke to me, and all He told me was, I want you to do it again. And I've been trusting Him for success. I've been meeting Him halfway. I've been giving my best effort. And you've been supporting me in that. And thank you so much. But for me and my family, anything after 3 years was amazing grace. We left Zion View right at 3 years. Mom got killed in a car crash. We buried her in the cemetery over there. And I didn't have it in my heart to pastor anymore and start over. I don't know. People left and just... And so we passed 3 years. We just celebrated six. To me, it is amazing that God has still got us here. We've just been trusting Him one Sunday to the next, one Wednesday to the next. We've just been trying to just stay focused and move forward little by little, being encouraged by you and the Scriptures. And then this weekend, when I read about Solomon and about how he determined to build a house for the name of the Lord, it just much more excited me. Let us not grow weary of striving to make and meet goals around here, but let us continue and watch God bless, watch God do a new thing that surpasses the old things. Again, chapter 2, verse 1, and Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord. This is a determination from administration. And I give you my word, church, I am determined to do something great by the power of God while we are here, my family. And thank you for being on board. A determined from administration. Let me mention a second thing. A duration of preparation. These are more than just a play on words. Solomon said, I'm determined to build a house for the name of the Lord. So there was determination from administration. But then there was a duration of time that passed before the first nail went in the wall. I'll prove it. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Listen, and he, Solomon began to build in the second day of the second month in the fourth year of his reign. Solomon didn't start on day one. Hey, let's clear us out a spot and build up the house of God. He didn't do that on day one. There was 4 years that passed by before he started to nail in the first nail. Why? What was Solomon doing leading up to that time? What in the world was he doing for 3 years is the question. And this is what he was doing. Notice back in chapter number 1, verse 1. And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened. Stay with me, church. He was strengthened. God was strengthening him when he first started until year number 4. And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. And then you follow the flow, then the building began. Now, let me mention this. Again, verse number 1. Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened. There's a reference verse. I'll give it to you. Again, 1 Kings, this is a combo book altogether. Some has more details than others. 1 Kings chapter number 2, verse 46. Listen to this. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. What are you talking about? Listen, follow me, follow me. You follow me? Say amen. There were some enemies of Solomon's that died that was a hindrance. Then he was able to start the work. In other words, Solomon for 3 years was being resisted. He was being resisted for the work of God for 3 years. And finally, when these men died, Solomon was able, he was strengthened, he was prepared. There was a clearance. He could go in with his men behind him and build the house of God. Sometimes it takes a while to get to a place of building and moving forward because of resistance. We've got the devil that resists us in our personal lives. We've got the flesh that resists us in our personal lives. We've got, and here it is, people that resist us in our lives outside, but even inside the church. Has anybody ever encountered some resistance in your walk with God? You're trying to serve the Lord. You're trying to raise a family. You're trying to do what's right. But yet there's this resistance. This morning you're wanting some things to change. You're wanting your life to be different. You're thinking about quitting. As I preached Wednesday night, faint yet pursuing. Gideon and his men, they were faint yet pursuing. My word to you this morning is, keep going. Stand up against resistance. Stand up against the devil. Stand up against the flesh. Stand up against people. Because what makes a great leader is not being liked by everybody, but it's about leading fearlessly. This week I heard something about leadership, and it stuck with me. And it's this, that leadership, like I just said, isn't about having a unanimous like for you. Being a leader, you're not going to be liked and loved unanimously. But it's about leading and doing the right thing fearlessly. Some will like you, some will love you, some will hate you. But when you encounter resistance, it doesn't mean you're not a good leader. When you endure resistance in your life, it does not mean that you're doing something wrong. You could be doing a lot right. That's why the devil's trying to stop you. That's why your flesh is trying to quit. That's why people are against you. It's not because what you're doing wrong. It's but because what you're doing right. So, me and the church, we had a good service Wednesday night. And we decided there's times where we are faint, but we're going to still pursue. But there's the resistance. There's this resistance factor. Here's four that resisted Solomon. Adonijah, Abiathar, Shimei, you'll know this one, and Joab. Joab was a general. David, his father, mentioned several times how Joab tried to intimidate him. And so now Father David has died and Solomon is ruling and reigning, but it took him a while to get established because he had some intimidators in his path. Child of God, don't you dare step back. Friend of mine, don't you dare let up moving forward in your Christian life. There are some intimidators that are trying to get you to stop, but just let it make you burn and move faster and move forward. Joab died. Solomon's like, whoo! Oh, praise the Lord. Let's build. In the book of Ezra, it talked about building there. And Ezra said there were some men hired against him to frustrate his purpose. Is your purpose being frustrated this morning? I don't know, something at home, something at work, something you're trying to do in your spare time. Are you frustrated? Are you being resisted? Doesn't necessarily mean you're doing something wrong, but you can be doing something very right. These men died. Verse number 1, 2 Chronicles. And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. And so what was he doing for the first 3 years before work began on the fourth year? He was being prepared for this great work. God was strengthening him. What is God doing in your life? He is preparing you during the quiet times. He is preparing you during the storm. He's preparing you through betrayal. People's turned their backs on you, talked about you. You've been let down. Your dreams have been vanished away, so to speak. God has been preparing you through all of those times for such a time as this. Amen. Amen. I have experienced resistance again in many areas of my life, living for the Lord, first church, second church, but praise God, not much resistance here at Calvary. Thank you. And listen, from my heart to yours, any former members or members that are members here that's not here in person, watching on Facebook or listening on our webpage, I understand transition takes a time, going from one pastor to the next. It's been 6 years now. You're with us. Some left early on, and they said they had reason. They were just, you know, led over here, led over there. But if anybody left, I say this boldly, because a new pastor came to Calvary, shame on you. You have no idea what it takes to do a work for God if you give up that easy on your church and your God. But this group of people I'm preaching to this morning, Jesus is calling. He's speaking. He's setting cell phones off. Let me ask you a question. Brother Allen, who made you come here this morning? Ceylon? Did anybody hogtie you, bring you to the car and say, you're going to Calvary, and you're going to hear that choir and you're going to hear Justin preach. You chose to come here. And I have an inkling within my mind and my heart, the reason why you are still here is because you know there's something to it. Calvary has always been a great church, but Calvary has always served a great God. And Calvary is going to continue to do great things. I have a feeling that you are still coming because you know God's not through with you here yet. You know God's doing something. And I'll tell you, I've been up at night for good reasons. Brother Randy back there, I know Brother Spencer too. Ideas. And I know I got to channel my ideas. I know that. And you know, but man, God has not only given me a bit to swallow, He has put some bits in front of me. Folks, there's enough work to be done around here till Jesus comes. I mean, there's a community to reach. I going to a soccer field. I mean, ideas just pop, 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 pop. I'm not going to tell you what my big plan is after the sanctuary. God may use a future pastor down the road to achieve that. I don't know. But God is using you, Mary Ann. God is using you, Mary Kay. He is. He is. Miss Mary Kelly, she came up to me a while back and said, Brother Justin, why ain't you preached on hell yet? She's still wondering. I drop some hints here and there and even in some recent messages about hell. But she's a witness. I mean, she'll tell me like it is. Y'all know that. She'll tell you like it is too, but she does it in love. But I say that to say this, that God is using you. She's handing out them crosses. She's telling people about Jesus. I mean, I could go on and on. And I don't want to start that because everybody deserves to be recognized for your service to the Lord. But what I don't remember, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you've showed to His saints and that you have ministered and do minister to Him. Building a house for God. Let me mention this. We're going to close. Like I said, we'll finish tonight. So there was some resistance. Have you ever felt resistance? I know you have. And I thank you for not giving much resistance to me, but being there with me, hardly any resistance at all. I praise God, and I pray there won't be no more, or there will continue to be no resistance as we move forward unanimously and in one accord. A duration of preparation tonight. Tonight I want to take some time and talk about a direction before construction. Solomon led the people of God to Gibeon for sacrifice. And then a question was asked to Solomon, and then that's when the work began after Solomon gave his reply to God. God asked him a question, Solomon gave his reply, then we get into chapter 2, and the work starts. And so tonight, a direction before construction. Men, if you'd like to come, I know this is a different kind of message, but it's a needed message. I said it was a church challenge message. And I thank you for being on board. I guess my word to you is let's continue unified, moving together, supporting one another. It's been so refreshing since we've got outreach back in place and all of the contribution gifts, the upgrades, seeing people get excited, asking things. Let's continue that. A lot of churches don't have that. The Spirit of the Lord has departed from a lot of churches. We may be a smaller church, but praise God, we are a lively church. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. I pray the church took this message in the spirit that I gave it. That is a heart of gratitude for them having me and my family for these amount of years and partnering with us. How refreshing it is to have a vision and go. Nobody wants to spin their wheels. We all want to have some fruit to bear for the labor that we've done. And so, God, if there's someone here this morning that needs to come and just say, Lord, refresh my spirit so I can keep serving, let that happen. If there's one here that's not saved, they don't know if they'd go to heaven when they die, let them come. Or let them talk to me after service. Or another adult, or just another brother or sister, another person in the church. Whatever the case is, whatever the need is, God, I pray that you'd move in the invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come, come on the first verse. Building a house for God.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Anybody else this morning?
Have thine own way.
Let's do something great for the Lord.
Thou art the power.
We appreciate each and every one of you in the area of service that you serve. Let's keep at it. Let's trust God for one more year and see what happens. We'll just start with that. While these are praying, there may be some others. Do you need to come this morning? Whatever the case may be.
Have thine own way. Search me and try me. Master.
Still time for you. Singing. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for responding. Thank you for being here this morning. And what a blessing it was to be here. Just remember one another as we go our separate ways. And remember the service tonight at 5 o'clock downstairs. And
let's meet with the choir at 4.
Let's meet in the choir at 4 o'clock. We do have homecoming coming up. And so that's, I'm pretty sure, one of the reasons why we're meeting. So thank you for coming. Thank you for anything else to mention before we go. Thank you, church. We love you. And I know you love me. I can feel it. Love me, my family. Thank you. All right. Consider yourself dismissed. We'll see you here back in a little while. God bless.